Come, Lord Jesus, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we pick up the story in chapter 19, we are in exile. We are slaves in a foreign country. God has given us a promise through the prophets that he will return us to our homeland, Jerusalem. But it's been a long time, and we don't see the way forward. As we read in the book of Ezra, you all read the book of Ezra. It's one of the small little books in the Old Testament. But in the first chapter, in the first verse, it says, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus. And this is what the king said. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go to Jerusalem and build the temple. A remarkable turn of events. Stunning. Who would have known? Who would have expected? Who would have thought God would use somebody as least likely as Cyrus, king of Persia, to turn his heart, to open the gates after almost 70 years of exile in Babylon and set the Israelites free to go home? Almost 50,000 returned to their homeland, Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple and to reorient their lives. It was like this prodigal son's homecoming. He came to himself and began his long journey home to put his life back into its proper order that had gotten so disordered. And not only that, Cyrus even returned the gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple and sent that along with them and commanded all the people to support them in their efforts to rebuild the temple. So the people left with a very clear mission, a passion, an excitement, a vision of the future to rebuild the house of the Lord, not because God needed a house to live in, but because the people of God needed God at the center of their lives. The building of the temple was not as much about what God needed, but about what his people needed. They needed God back where he belonged, at the center of their lives. Life had gotten way out of order. The main idea of chapter 19 of the story is that life doesn't turn out well for us when God is not in his rightful place, as first in our lives, at the center of our lives, the beginning of our lives. When the people arrived in Jerusalem, it wasn't as easy as they thought. They were enthusiastic, they were passionate, they were all excited, but guess what? The neighbors were not really excited about them coming back and reestablishing themselves. No, times had changed. The folks who inhabited Jerusalem at the time were not interested in giving up their newfound territory. So building the temple was met with great resistance. The people lived in fear of their lives in order to do what they had been called to do. It wasn't easy, but they did lay the foundation. And they did build the altar. And they did sacrifice to the Lord. And they celebrated and rejoiced under great fanfare. There were a few who wept because the temple that they built was not like the temple of before. It wasn't as big. It wasn't as grandiose. It wasn't as substantial. But it was there. What I want us to think about this morning is about living lives of passion. How do we maintain that passion when things don't work out the way that we think? How many times have you started something with the very best intentions only to lose the hope, lose the vision, lose the commitment, the resolve? How many New Year's resolutions did we go into with great anticipation and expectation? How many diets have we begun? How many exercise programs have we started? I know there's a whole several industries built on people's enthusiastic expectations that seem to fade away. I have a whole garage with littered items. Items that I once thought were going to be new hobbies, new passions, new commitments to my life. With the best of intentions, I used them maybe once or twice. Maybe it was a project that I wanted to do but never got around to doing it. I was really excited. But now they're just sitting there in the garage collecting dust. I think, what a waste. What was I thinking? Well, this is what happened to the people of Israel as they began this building project. It was a great project, but they hadn't counted the costs. They hadn't, understood fully what was involved. And they lost interest. And one by one, they slowly left to go build their own houses. Yeah, the temple project looked like one of the abandoned construction zones. Maybe down here that has a chain link fence around it. And you could tell there was a good foundation laid, but all the weeds are built up now. They've grown up around it. And it's been abandoned for years now. There's one problem is we can't put God in the garage. We can't treat him as a bygone passion. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't stay there. And God began to speak to his people as they went away to their own place. They put him back on the back burner. And he spoke through the prophet Haggai. Another individual that we probably haven't read much about in the Old Testament. And Haggai says, is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up and bring down that timber and build my house, so that I may be honored. Again, that's not about God, but more about us, more about our need to honor God in our lives. Remarkably, they heard God's voice this time, and they responded. There was something within them that knew that they had somehow lost their identity. They had lost their way, that their lives were not going well. They were still hungry and thirsty. They were not satisfied. And they turned and began to work on that project again. They went back and began to work on the house of the Lord. And God said to them through Haggai, be strong. Continue to work. I am with you. My spirit will be with you. Do not fear. God had not forgotten his people or his covenant. And he began to paint a picture of a glorious future that would ultimately be fulfilled when Jesus visited this very temple. The prophet Zechariah spoke of this. And the lesson that we have here is that God is either at the center of our lives or he's not. He's either the big thing in our lives or he's nothing. He can't just be another thing among all the other things in our lives. It doesn't work that way. Like the picture of the prodigal son, God is that first love. God is that place where we are provided for, where we receive our identity, where we know where we come from. And when we forsake that, when we leave that, when we act like we can find it in cheap imitations, we end up making a mess of our lives. Things don't work out well, and we find ourselves in a foreign country slopping the pigs. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Goes on to say, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. It's all about keeping the first things first. And when we do that, the second things are given to us as well. But how do we keep it in order? It's all about keeping it in the proper order. When we try to do both, we get neither. Our relationship with God is not something that we can treat as some bygone passion, something that we were hot for one day and cold for the next, and we're just going to put him in the garage now. We'll pick him up again when, you know, we need him. It's not a short-term feeling, but a long-term decision. We are committed to God because he is our God. Everything else will flow from that. With God's help, the Israelites completed the temple, and they put God back at the center of their lives where he belongs. And through that, we listen to those words from Haggai who says, give careful thought to your ways. There are lots of things out there that capture our attention, that suck us in, we get excited and passionate about, but don't let them take the place of our first love, our first passion. Keep God at the center of your lives and life will go much smoother and God will be praised. Amen.